Chapter 12. No espionage in the Senate offices. Check. So Joff acted mildly surprised when his superior officer told him Senator Organa had requested him for a routine flight on the Mirabright, perhaps to train as a backup pilot. More surprising was when he and Greer actually took the ship into orbit. But of course that made sense. Their story had to check out. As soon as the Mirabright had entered the upper atmosphere, however, the princess said, "Okay, let's hear it." Joff had thought they'd go into the main room, but instead, Senator Organa took the auxiliary chair and sat with them at the controls. "What did you find?" The words gushed from Joff before he could even think about checking them.
"Daxum 4 is the place for sure. On the outer rim. There's some group there called the Amaxines who are mixed up with all of this somehow, and..."
His voice trailed off as he realized that in his enthusiasm, he had just stepped all over Greer's report. She raised one of her angular eyebrows at him, and he thought,
"You have got to stop trying so hard."
You explain the rest, Greer."
"There's not much else to explain," Greer said dryly. "Except that whoever these Amaxine guys are, they're bad news. Pilots who have spent their whole careers running spice don't like to tangle with them. They oversee shipments coming in and out of Daxum 4. Couldn't get confirmation on the likely cargo, but it's definitely illegal. And operating on a scale that suggests Rinriven Dai is involved. How many people could be moving that much cargo through a backwater like Daxum 4?
"Amaxines," the princess said thoughtfully. The lights from the control panel illuminated her from beneath in gold and green. "How strange." Caught off guard, Joff said,
"Wait, you've heard of them?"
"I've heard of the legend of the Amaxines. It's an old story. One my mother told me, dating back to the dawn of the Old Republic." Princess Leia's eyes gazed into an unseen distance. "Supposedly, they were a warrior people, their entire culture based on battle. Instead of currency, they traded weapons for goods and services. The tale has it that they refused to make peace with the Old Republic, but knew they could never defeat such an enemy. So instead, they pointed their ships at the galaxy beyond ours and left forever, searching for yet another war to fight."
"Which means they spent eternity wandering around in the void of space," Joff said. "Who names themselves after those guys?"
"Not many people, which is why I was able to track this down pretty quickly."
Greer punched a few buttons on her main monitor, and the green arc of their orbit above Hosnian Prime disappeared, replaced by a chart that looked like a cobweb, numerous connections all leading toward one central point. He leaned over Greer's right shoulder as the princess leaned over the left, and Greer began tracing the paths with her finger.
"There's no record of such a group, at least not in any public informational grid. However, I was able to track mentions of the word Amaxine above any typical count."
Fascinated as he was by this, Joff couldn't help asking,
"How did you figure out a typical count for this one obscure word?"
Greer sighed.
"I asked 3PO.
Joff had only worked with the droid once, but he already knew that C-3PO would have searched exhaustively through months' worth of galactic communication just to answer Greer's question.
"Okay then, the count's accurate."
"The Amaxines, or Amaxine warriors, only get mentioned in a few specific areas. Certain worlds, mostly clustered in one section of the galaxy, had a much higher than average hit rate. And the world with the most hits of all was, you guessed it, Daxum 4.
Greer pointed her finger into the center of her holographic chart, the section of the web where the spider could be found. "Do we have any information about these Amaxines?" The senator folded her arms. "Any mention of exactly what business they're operating that requires so much discretion?"
"Not much," Greer admitted. "Apparently they pay enough to keep people's mouths shut. But from what I've gathered, they're a kind of local planetary militia."
Planetary militias weren't unusual.
However, Joff knew it made no sense for Daxum-4 to have one. It wasn't a criminal target or bordered by known enemies. And the amount of money the Amaxines seemed to be collecting from Rinriven Dai, that was more than any militia could possibly need to defend a planet from raiders. Senator Organa said, "What kind of world is Daxum-4? Joff could answer this one, but he waited for Greer to nod before he began.
"Outer Rim, subarctic desert climate, still primarily self-reliant. They limit off-planet commerce, which is kind of weird seeing as how it's a centrist planet. Usually, they're the ones who want everyone to be able to buy and sell everywhere. We could have picked up cargo there. We learned how to get those jobs. But we kind of figured that would take our mission from unauthorized to illegal."
"You're learning caution, Sea Striker." Senator Organa smiled at him just for a moment.
"Speaking of centrist worlds," Greer continued as she gestured at the chart, "what do you want to bet almost every one of these planets has in common?"
Joff's eyes widened. "These are all centrist worlds?"
"Not all, but most. The others are mostly neutral planets known to be major vectors in the spice trade."
Greer leaned back, obviously satisfied with her conclusions.
"I think some centrist senators might just be taking kickbacks in return for hiding what looks like the biggest drug cartel of the past 20 years.
But the princess shook her head, "No, that's not what I sense." Joff frowned. "Sense? What did that have to do with anything?" He knew better than to ask out loud. Greer, however, seemed to understand.
"Really? You don't think this is a centrist plot? That's the most obvious interpretation."
"Which is why we can't afford to jump to conclusions now," Senator Organa continued, and she sounded logical again. "We only have a small piece of the puzzle, so we can't assume we already see the solution. Besides, I don't trust a lot of the centrists, but most of their leaders are too stodgy to ever think about skimming money off the spice trade, if that's even what's happening here."
"You'd be surprised what people will do for money," Greer said darkly.
She looked up from her chart to gaze through the transparency. The view beyond was the black of space above, pale atmosphere blue below. It was as if they were suspended between ground and sky. "Not much surprises me." The princess frowned as she studied the chart again. "This may be less a matter of shared political beliefs, more a matter of the Amaxine warriors being active only in this area of space."
"So do we investigate there?"
Joff couldn't wait for another mission. Maybe she'd say they could start today. "Perhaps, but I want to get someone else's advice on this first," Senator Organa said. Greer gave her a look.
"Do you mean Kisterfo?"
Joff wondered how that guy had moved so quickly from obstacle to ally. But apparently he had, because Princess Leia nodded and said, "He's the only centrist I trust at all. Besides, he's an up-and-comer in their faction. That means he has connections and influence on those worlds I don't, and he can ask questions without attracting as much attention as I would. Also, if he had anything to do with this, he wouldn't have jumped into that situation on Bastatha and nearly gotten us both killed."
"Just weird to hear you approving of a centrist," Greer said, but by now she was smiling. "Never thought I'd see the day."
Senator Organa sighed. "Honestly, neither did I." When Ransom Kisterfo received Princess Leia's message, he quickly agreed to another meeting, and to her request that they meet off-site from the Senate. If he went to her office, that would mean signaling his lower rank. Such behavior was appropriate, but not conducive to the kind of partnership he hoped to build with Leia Organa.
"And obviously we'll never meet here again," he thought, as he looked around his office,
smiling slightly at his newest acquisition, a TIE pilot's helmet in such good condition it still gleamed.
"My collection agitates her past the point of reason."
Instead, they arranged to meet at the Hanging Gardens, one of the genuine delights Hosnian Prime had to offer. An enormous building of sandstone had been constructed in the shape of a staggered pyramid, each floor hollow in the center. It stood at the edges of the vast capital megalopolis, so visitors could enjoy the glittering skyline or the distant horizon, depending on where they sat. Beautiful plants of all varieties sprouted from boxes both inside and out, and on the inside, tall willowy trees grew, often blossoming into pale blue flowers. They received the light they needed from the ample spaces between each floor, which let the sun's rays slant through. The serenity within the hanging gardens contrasted with the activity outside, a constant swirl of low-flying air traffic.
And that area down there?
He pointed as he settled into the chair next to Princess Leia. His gesture took in a few dozen craft that hovered near the ground, positioned to get a good view of both the gardens and the sunset.
I imagine that's where young lovers go when they claim to be somewhere else.
Princess Leia smiled down at them. But sadly, Ransom thought. She said, they're taking time to be young. Good for them. At first he wasn't sure what to make of her melancholic mood. But when she showed him the data pad with Greer Sonnel's findings, Ransom thought he understood.
You suspect a centrist conspiracy?
No. In fact, I'm almost sure that's not it. Princess Leia shook her head. But I think that these Amaxine warriors, whoever they are, seem to be hiding out in centrist territory. They're handling almost all the cargo going in or out of that planet, and the only person we know doing business there on a grand scale is Rin Riven Dai. Ransom was pleasantly surprised by her measured, rational response. So many populists seized on any sliver of evidence, no matter how flimsy, for their implausible theories of corruption and scandal. However, he was beginning to learn that Princess Leia was her own person, one worth listening to.
Thank you for bringing this to me. You're quite right. The links to Daxam 4 cannot be mere coincidence. We must look into this right away.
Agreed. And you're better placed to do it than I am. You know what questions to ask and who to put the questions to.
I shall ask questions, Ransom promised. But I also intend to look into the matter personally.
Princess Leia grinned at him. The sunset painted her white gown nearly gold. I think you're developing a taste for action. He leaned forward, smiling conspiratorially.
You're a bad influence.
That made her laugh out loud. Do you know, that's the best compliment anyone has paid me in a long time.
Then you aren't being paid enough compliments.
Ransom decided to risk the next.
Of course, the populist candidate for First Senator could expect a great deal of flattery in the future.
She held up her hands as if she could ward off the election. Nothing's official, not even close. And please, let's concentrate on the matter at hand. I need a break from the Senate for a while. The princess was keeping her cards close, Ransom figured. After seeing how skillfully she played Sabacc, he should have anticipated as much.
Then I repeat my thanks. You've given me valuable information I can act on without delay. The incursion of such criminal elements threatens these worlds, and as you know, we centrists believe in law and order.
Do you ever, she said wryly, but her good humor seemed to have been restored.
I've actually just lent my support to a campaign to restore the death penalty on Ryosa. More systems are leaning toward it, you know.
More centrist systems, you mean?
Yes, he said. Most populists are too soft for such measures. But I've watched you strangle a hut to death with satisfaction. You're not one of the soft ones, Senator.
Two compliments in one day? If you're not careful, they'll throw you out of the centrists.
I'll take my chances.
He realized, somewhat to his surprise, that their meeting wasn't merely useful. When the princess wasn't being combative, she was enjoyable company. The Senate needed more cooperation between centrists and populists, and surely cooperation could be furthered by good relations, even by friendship.
Ransom asked, As long as we're here, shall we have dinner?
To judge by her raised eyebrows, the invitation was a surprise, but a pleasant one.
She gestured to a nearby server droid. Why not? In quieter moments during their dinner, Leia tried to imagine Varish Vickley's consternation if she saw Senator Leia Organa willingly sharing a meal with the enemy. Her fur would probably spontaneously curl. Tylin Gar would take it quietly, but harder, shaking his head in sorrow. And the centrists? Oh, their reactions would be priceless. But there were few quiet moments. Leia found Ransom Casterfo surprisingly easy to talk to. He was intelligent, cultured, and even witty. Also, he was young enough that she didn't have to worry about any misunderstandings of the romantic variety. But not so young that she had to feel guilty about appreciating the view.
We're working hard to restore Ryosa as a galactic center of manufacturing, Casterfo said earnestly.
His aquamarine cloak turned his eyes an even more vivid shade of blue. It's been difficult, of course, but with the new factories, the economy is finally taking an upward turn. Leia wondered whether to chance her next question. She might shut Casterfo down completely, but she decided it was worth the risk. If she was to continue working with him, she had to get to the bottom of this. Ryosa's economy was wrecked by the Empire, wasn't it? That makes it hard for me to understand your, let's call it, fascination. To her surprise, Casterfo nodded.
Yes, we were wrecked. Deliberately, even maliciously.
Our factories and our people were pushed to the limit and beyond to manufacture components for both Death Star stations. And when we could supply them with nothing more, they cast us aside to starve. He took a sip of the pink juice they'd been served.
My belief in an empire is not belief in the empire. It never could be, not after what happened to my world.
I guess I can't get around the contradiction.
It's not a contradiction.
Casterfo remained silent a few moments, weighing his words. Dusk had fallen, and the ships zooming by were shooting stars in the cobalt blue of early night.
You know, I assume, that the manufacturing efforts on Ryosa were often overseen by Lord Vader himself?
Leia tensed. It seemed to her that she could hear that heavy, metallic breathing, as though the mere mention of his name had resurrected him. When she trusted herself to reply, she said, "No, I didn't know that."
Vader visited Ryosa often.
Each time, he tightened his fist even more. Casterfo's gaze had turned distant.
The quotas rose higher. The hours grew longer.
What had been paid employment became mandatory service, then slavery in all but name.
Workers with manufacturing experience were herded into labor camps with pitiful living conditions. Not enough food, only the bare minimum of shelter, and always, always more work. You could keep going until your fingers bled, and still, it wasn't enough.
She stared at him in dawning comprehension. You were in one of those camps. Casterfo breathed out sharply.
Technically, yes. It was my parents who had the more wretched experience. My parents who were herded behind the camp walls to work themselves to the bone.
He tried to laugh, but the sound came out strangled.
Would you believe that bringing me with them was a special privilege my parents were given? That they were lucky to be allowed to bring their child to suffer by their side. Others had to leave their children behind to starvation or slavery or who knows what other torment.
Leia had heard such stories from other worlds, other survivors. That didn't make it any easier to see Ransom Casterfo struggling for control as he thought of his parents. She laid her hand on Casterfo's forearm, hoping he would take it as comfort rather than pity. He didn't even notice.
My parents survived the war, but only just. They'd been forced to work without proper safety filters. The toxicity in their lungs killed them both less than a year into the New Republic's rule. All because Lord Vader thought they could work harder.
Asterfo looked into Leia's eyes again, and he didn't even try to disguise the rawness of his pain.
I believe in strong leadership by good men, but I know the damage evil men can do. I learned that from Darth Vader's example. I saw him cut down innocent people with my own eyes. So trust me when I say that I can admire the Empire's core structure and still condemn Palpatine, Vader, and all their works.
I do. I trust you. What moved her as much as Casterfo's story was the faith he had shown in her by telling it. What happened after? Casterfo took a deep breath, then smiled as if he'd entirely thrown off his dark mood. He hadn't, but he was making a valiant effort. I had a rough few years, but then I was taken in by a couple that had some off-world wealth. They didn't exactly adopt me as a son, though I was one of several children they housed, fed, and educated. But for them, I might have starved. No wonder you got angry when I called you spoiled, Leia said. I'm truly sorry. You didn't know. Whereas I did know about Alderaan, and I threw the insult back at you anyway. It wasn't our finest hour. Let's leave it at that. He lifted his glass for another draft of the juice, then saw it was empty. A droid zipped over immediately. Did you ever see Darth Vader with your own eyes? I suppose in the Galactic Senate you must have.
Yes, I did.
Casterfo frowned.
Princess Leia?
He had dared to tell her his most painful truth. She could never reveal hers. Not to anyone who didn't already know. Leia understood that. But perhaps she could find the courage to match his honesty with a measure of her own. At the beginning of the war against the Empire, just as the Imperial Senate was dissolved, she swallowed hard. My ship was captured by the Devastator. That was Darth Vader's flagship at the time. He personally brought me to the Death Star, where he questioned me. Comprehension dawned in Casterfo's eyes.
You mean... Just say it.
I mean he tortured me for hours, while a couple of his Imperial stormtroopers watched. Sometimes that got to her when nothing else did. The troopers had been soldiers of the line. Some of them had honestly believed they were doing the right thing. Or so she told herself. But how could you believe that after you watched a 19-year-old girl writhing on the floor and screaming for mercy that never came? How could you stand there and watch that girl convulse in helpless agony without doing something, anything to help? Apparently, some people could. Then he brought me to witness Alderaan's destruction. Vader's hand gripped my shoulder just after I watched my planet die. He made me suffer in every way a human being can suffer. All for the love of the Emperor. Casterfo slipped his arm from under her hand. She had gone utterly motionless, and grasped her fingers in his. As old as she was, as cynical as she'd become, Leia would never have guessed that such a gesture could still move her. But it did.
I hated him so much,
she whispered. The breeze blew past them, rustling the blue blossom trees within the hanging gardens. It was as if they were helping to hide her painful words. Sometimes I felt as if the only thing that kept me going in the aftermath of Alderaan was the strength of my hatred for Vader.
For my father.
As always when Leia thought about this, she called upon what Luke had told her of their father's last hours. He had renounced darkness, saved Luke, and become Anakin Skywalker again. Whenever Luke told the story, a beatific smile lit up his face. His memories of that event gave him a level of comfort and even joy that sustained him. Those were memories Leia couldn't share.
Then we have that in common, Casterfo said. We both know what a monster Lord Vader was, and we have no desire to see his like gain power in the galaxy ever again. But you think he will emerge from order, while I think he will emerge from chaos.
Leia couldn't muster the nerve for another debate.
Let's hope we never find out. Hear, hear.
They let go of each other at the same moment and leaned back. But Leia knew the connection they'd forged wouldn't be broken that quickly. Only a few short hours before, Ransom Casterfo had been her uneasy ally. Now, for better or for worse, they had become friends. When the server droid rolled by them again, Casterfo snagged 2 glasses of Corellian ale for them without asking whether Leia wanted one. It seemed he had the good sense to know she needed it. After the first couple of sips and too many moments of silence, Leia decided to change the subject. Awkward, but surely any topic of conversation had to be more pleasant than Vader's evils. Any bets as to who the centrist candidate will be? Casterfo shook his head.
There are 12 possibilities at least, Senator.
I think we're on a first-name basis by now, aren't we, Ransom? He acknowledged this with a quick nod.
As I was saying, Leia, at least 12 potential nominees so far, and more may arise.
Who knows? She managed to smile. You might wind up voting for me yet.
I'll vote with my party, of course. But I'll say this much. You're the only populist I'd ever trust with the job.
Too bad Ryosa isn't a more influential world, Leia said. I'd feel a lot better if you were the centrist candidate.
Ransom tried not to smile, but the result only made him look mischievous.
That makes 2 of us.
I think we can drink to that, Leia said.
They lifted their glasses and clinked them together, and the darkness in their pasts seemed farther away than it had before.